Waking up on a little cooler Monday morning, and certainly we're going to be probably seeing overnight lows that's going to the minus range a little more consistently in the coming weeks. And it's a frosty one. I don't think you're going to be scraping any windows this morning, but hey, Thanksgiving Day long weekend is coming up next. And honestly, once we get through today, it looks as if the weather is going to be pretty nice in and around that 20-degree mark Wednesday through Friday, and perhaps on the long weekend now, too. So a little cool this morning. Yeah, I turned the furnace on before going to bed last night. Tried to hold off, but just felt it was time. Hey, my friend Ashlyn George, who is a travel blogger and can be found online at thelostgirlsguide.com, recently took a trip to New Brunswick and by motorcycle. I thought I'd ask her to share what it was like, and now that she's back, we'll find out if it's worth going on motorcycle. Ashlyn, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be home.
Hey, so what's on the other side of the country? I've never been that way.
You know, I had to laugh because I feel like New Brunswick is the eastern fishing version of western farming Saskatchewan. People are so friendly. They love to chat. It honestly, it felt like home, but fishing.
But a little prettier because of the landscape?
And curvier roads as well.
So you hop on this motorcycle. What's that road trip experience like when you get there?
It's pretty cool. For most of it, I base myself out of St. John, but I spent a few nights kind of in the countryside. And you have these amazing curvy roads, smooth pavement. You know, you're riding past marinas, you're seeing lighthouses. And actually, they have quite a few ferries. If you're riding on the Kingston Peninsula, which is part of where I was, you can take ferries back and forth across it. They take like 5 to 10 minutes, and they're free.
So you're an experienced motorcyclist, but I imagine there's a few hairpin turns and some pretty spectacular cliffside views.
So there's a 30-kilometer driving route. It's called the Fundy Parkway, and it is absolutely stunning. People go on motorcycles. They take their campers. You can bicycle it. You can hike along the coast, and you get these incredible cliffside views, and you get to see the Bay of Fundy and the tides that they have there, which they're phenomenal. They can change up to about 16 meters, 50 feet in 12 hours. It's a lot of water.
I imagine you have to stop now and then for a few eats. What's the food like?
Yeah, so my goal was to try and eat seafood every single meal I was there, and it was so easy to do, but I do have to mention the lobster rolls. When you go east, you have to grab a lobster roll. I mean, in this one little community called St. Martin's, the seafood market named Spinney's, they're voted the best lobster roll in New Brunswick, but literally down the roadway, you can actually look at the boat that brought the lobster in. So very small town, but very fresh.
As you tour around, tell me about some of the stops you made.
So especially on the Kingston Peninsula, some cool places. There's a cidery that's been open the last couple years. So, you know, you're on a bike, it's a hot day, you get a stop for a cider. They have alcoholic and non-alcoholic options. And the one night we actually stayed in this tiny off-grid cabin called La Belle Cabane. You hike up the hillside to the cabin. There's no power. You have an outhouse, but it's very beautiful. And they actually have an on-site spa that you can book for the evening. So you go through the thermal therapy cycle. So you have a hot tub, two saunas. There's a heated rock floor you can lay on. And of course, there's the cold plunge pool too, and a beautiful sitting area. And it's your private spa in the forest. It's incredible.
And somehow you drove across the ocean floor to boot. How did you do that?
Oh, yes, I had to do this. There's a place called Minister's Island. This is near St. Andrews in New Brunswick. And it's a historic site. It was originally owned by William Van Horn. He's of like the Canadian Pacific Railway. He was the president in the late 1800s. But you can only access this island at low tide, and you get to drive across the ocean floor. Did it on a motorcycle, was very careful about it. And then you get to go explore his 50 room mansion and his barn as well, which looks like a castle.
Man, it sounds like there's a lot to do in New Brunswick.
Honestly, it was such an incredible trip. I know lots of us prairie people love to head east. And yeah, New Brunswick is definitely a location people need to add to their list.
Travel blogger Ashlyn George, overall, 10 being the highest. How would you rate this trip and affordability too?
Honestly, I would say like a solid 9 out of 10. And affordability wasn't bad, right? We're in Canadian dollars, so there's no exchange you have to worry about. Seafood can get a little bit expensive. Lobster rolls were about $30, sometimes $35. But especially going a little later in the season, not at high points in summer, it's a little bit cheaper as well.
I know our WestJet flight isn't year-round, but did you take advantage of the Eastern flight?
Yeah, we got round-trip flights for about $550, which was really affordable.
Hey, I'm glad to hear that you had such a great trip. I've never been. I got to get out to New Brunswick. That East Coast looks amazing. Thanks, Ashlyn.
You betcha. Thank you so much.
It just never happens that way.
a victory weekend. The Riders won, the Rams won, and the Blue Jays.
Deep left field. It is a grand slam.
Oh, man. I could not believe how electric it was after that Vladdy grand slam. Joining me now, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. I love that aerial shot with the roof open.
Yeah.
And they pull back and just let the crowd go nuts. And I loved his bat flip, too. He just looked super cool doing that. And Frank, our producer in between you and I right now, said Bautista's bat flip is a little cooler.
Yeah, well, and that was come from behind when Bautista did it. And the emotion was just there. Of course, the roof was closed. Not very often that the roof is open.
Yeah,
this time of year in Toronto, and so it really, but yeah, Vladdy's reaction was almost like he was pretty, as you mentioned, kind of pretty collected for, I mean, Toronto had already been up at that point, and convincing, much, like games one and two, wow, like this is a Toronto team that I think is now living up to its postseason potential.
23 runs in two games, pretty extraordinary, and they'll be back at her tomorrow. It was a baseball weekend for a fan like yourself, right? Because I got to ask, how are you feeling about your Mariners?
Better.
Okay.
Then
they lost the opening game,
they did, 3-2, and then they came back and won last night 3-2 against who will probably win the Cy Young in the American League, Tarek Skubal. So one of the best pitchers in the entire league. So it was a tall task, and this is playoffs, right? And we all know what playoffs are like. I'm sure we'll feel this way when the Riders take the field in the playoffs as well.
Well, and they won, but came out strong. 2013 was the final against the Red Blacks. But yeah, the first drive was great, and then we waited a long while before we saw any life from that offense.
Not a convincing win, but at the end of the day, yes, they still got the W. And, you know, we're hearing from quarterback this morning, and, you know, they're trying to come away with this, how do we get better? Yeah. And what can we do? What can we do when it comes to learning from our mistakes? They still have time.
Yeah.
It's not the playoffs now, but you know, they still have time, and maybe they'll get it sealed soon enough.
And the Brett Lawther experiment, we're bringing in Campbell Fair. I think we all are well aware of where we're going in the future. Brett Lawther, you are our man. Campbell Fair struggled greatly, so hey, you know what? If they win, they clinch, and then, you know, they're in pretty good shape going into the West Final. So Argonauts here Friday. Enough about the Riders for a moment. How about our Prime Minister, Mark Carney? Off to Washington to meet Donald Trump, which I guess the meeting technically is until tomorrow. Is
that right? He's leaving today, and he'll meet with President Trump tomorrow, his second time as Prime Minister in Washington, meeting with the president. So we'll see what comes out of this, if anything more concrete can be, I mean, I guess, delivered on when it comes to tariffs, making some sort of progress with trade and security. I mean, it's a big, I mean, this is the top issue in our country right
now. And look, we really don't know anything, do we? Because he said nothing. Like, that's what's really interesting to me is Carney's office has not really said why or what the expectations are. He hasn't really told us anything about, wow, I'm just going. You know, it's kind of weird, isn't it, that we don't even know what this meeting is about. We only are speculating. And you know, you hear people, you know, obviously the opposition, conservative leader Pierre Poilievre, has been pumping him a little on social media. And there are people who think that we're never going to have a tariff-free option presented. Trump hasn't given that to any other country. I kind of look at it this might be a win if Carney just can return with no further harm to us.
Well, and Poilievre, speaking of Poilievre, what you just had mentioned, Poilievre really wants Carney to come back with some sort of progress for Canadians.
I don't know that he will.
It'll be tough, absolutely, for sure, because Trump, you know, he digs in and he usually stays there on a lot of issues. So we'll see what Carney can do, if anything.
Maybe for steel, aluminum, or softwood lumber, alleviate that a little.
Yeah, Trump, and I mean, America's got a lot going on right now. Remember, the U.S. federal government right now is still shut down as we enter a new week. So there is a lot happening in that country, and we'll see Carney makes.
I'm curious why he's going, because they haven't told us yet. Kevin Martell, go Mariners.
Thanks, buddy.
Few people saying that. You're the only one I know. CJME News Time is 6:57. Hey, heads up for those of you who live in the Northwest. Work is starting this morning at that intersection of Courtney and Rink. They're going to close it down at Courtney and Rink for probably 3 weeks. It's part of the Coopertown development. That starts this morning. Hope you had a nice weekend. I know many were watching the Blue Jays.
Dominguez finishes it off. The Blue Jays get a remarkable performance from Trey Savage and offense everywhere as they beat the Yankees 13-7, and they're going to take a 2-0 lead into the Bronx.
Yeah, you could not have scripted that any better for the Jays to win the first two games at home, and that's, I guess, why you want to win your division, right? To have that home field advantage. What a day, though, for Dalton Varsho. He was 4-for-5, 2 doubles, 2 home runs. He drove in 5, scored 4 runs. Vladdy with that grand slam. The Jays hit 5 home runs against the Yankees, winning 13-7. And yeah, Trey Savage, an 11-strikeout performance. What a story this kid is. That was only his 4th start of his entire career, and he shut down
the New York Yankees!
So much so that Aaron Boone didn't know what hit him. The manager of the Yankees after the game said the kid was just nasty.
Yeah, I mean, that was nasty stuff. I mean, that split is, you know, unlike much you ever run into. Using his fastball enough and slider enough, but you know, we just didn't have an answer for the split that, you know, he was on his game.
Yes, Savage thanked the crowd after the game. His parents and family members in the crowd crying when he got a chance to salute them after the game was over. And he said this too.
It's something I've never felt before. The energy and the passion that this fan base has and all 44,000 people that were here tonight. It's special. I mean, they're the reason I had so much juice and life in me, and I thank them for it.
Yeah, Game 3 goes tomorrow at Yankee Stadium, and Jays fans we spoke to locally seem pretty pumped, too.
They're really on the bat, and this could be a short series, I think. If they stay on the bat like this, they can win everything.
Exciting. It's exciting for Toronto fans. They haven't really had success since 2015, 2016. So, it's pretty exciting just to see them be good again.
It certainly was a winning weekend, not only for the Jays, but our Riders. And now a big game Friday. If they win, they clinch first place in the West, which would mean they have a bye. And that would obviously mean 1 win away at home from a great cup. Pretty exciting there. Shout out to our U of R Rams, too, for having an awesome season. They clinched their ticket to the playoffs, too, with a win over the Dinos. 18-12 was the score. Hey, like the Riders, the Rams would like to overcome a slow start, too. But again, like everyone says, a win's a win. And they've got a bye now before a game against Alberta a week from Friday on the 17th. And high school football Friday night, too. Johnson beat the combo of Martin and Luther. Weyburn defeated Leboldus. O'Neill lost to Talbot. It looks like it was a thriller Friday night for Campbell and Riffle. Riffle lost by 3 only, 36-33, Campbell wins on Friday. Oh, the Pats, they got their first win of the season. Great 4-2 over Swift on Saturday. They're going to have a back-to-back home games for Thanksgiving weekend here. Saturday against the Giants from Vancouver. And then on holiday Monday, they will welcome Kamloops. So good to see the Pats won. At the box office, The Smashing Machine starring The Rock did not smash the competition.
Winning is the best feeling there is. It's 40,000 people, yeah, and they're cheering you on. There's no other high like it in the world.
Well, winning wasn't for you, Rock. He's barely recognizable in that movie as a wrestler, UFC champion Mark Kerr. That's the storyline of that movie. He's trying to make a career comeback after battling substance abuse. The Rock getting a lot of talk for Oscar contention. They use a lot of prosthetics on his face. He's unrecognizable. Perhaps that's why the movie flopped at the box office. Nobody recognized him. It cratered The Smashing Machine. It was in third place, just $6 million. That's all it made, making it a career low for The Rock. It cost $50 million to produce that movie, too. And the reason he lost, well, it's Taylor Swift. The official release party of a showgirl made more than $33 million on the weekend. That's basically a 90-minute commercial to go out and buy her new album. But that was the number one movie at the box office. Of all the Evan Brays I know, he's one of the busiest. freshly.
How many everydays do you know?
Yeah, you're it. freshly returned from Saskatoon. Like, okay, wait, let's back up. Saturday night, you were in Regina for India Night.
India Night.
How was that?
Great night. I mean, they packed 750 people into the Delta.
Yeah.
Raised, I think, $170,000 for Creative Options Regina.
So you're busy hobnobbing there, letting the people touch you and reach out.
It was a great
night. With you.
I asked the blessing. I said grace before the meal.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. It was good. And then yesterday, you went to Saskatoon, but this was a personal trip.
Yeah. I just whipped up there with a friend of mine too. They had that big sports card and collectible expo. It's the largest sports card and collectible sale ever in Saskatchewan.
I'm surprised you told me, having been a card collector most of your life here, you said this was probably one of the biggest, best shows you've
100%
seen.
100%. It's the biggest show I've been to in this province anyway.
In our day, we were collecting hockey cards. So what is everyone collecting
well,
now?
Well, I mean, there's lots of hockey. Baseball is hot right now too, but Pokemon cards.
Yeah, still.
Which is a bit of a head scratcher for me, but I mean, some people would say that about people that collect sports cards, I guess.
Do you bother to look at those and recognize how much they're worth?
I walk right by those tables.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was packed there, but apparently on Saturday, because don't forget, they had Brian Trottier there.
Good friend of yours. He was on the show last week.
Oh, yeah. Very close friend. Well, we did have him on the show Wednesday. And so people were like, oh, you're a big Islander fan. Were you here yesterday? And I tried to be humble about, no, I wasn't, but I did have him one-on-one in studio. So that was
good. There's pictures to prove it. You shared it on your socials there, which is great. Oh, well, I'm glad you had a good weekend. It was definitely, as we're calling it, a winning weekend.
But cool, though, too, right? The weather.
Well, you're getting up there in age. Maybe you're just feeling it a little easier.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm lying. I did too. I turned the furnace on last night.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Heater in the vehicle, cranked up in the morning, and
okay.
Yeah.
Winning weekend.
Yeah.
You know, in between all your hobnobbing around with social butterfly, did you watch the Jays?
Watch the Jays. I mean, I actually listened to them yesterday, listened to part of the game, but, two great wins for them. And you got to think Vladdy being hot on the bat, he gets the home run in game one. He gets a grand slam yesterday. That's going to pump that team up. He's the leader of that
Remember the last week of their season, how everyone was in panic mode because they were kind of bombing out?
Yeah.
It's extraordinary how.
They had a bit of a slump. But boy, I mean, they look strong going into New York for tomorrow night. That's for sure. And I'm not diminishing that Ryder win at all. I know there's some people going, well, that wasn't the strongest win. Hey, it's a win. We got rid of that two-game losing snap, and I'm feeling good for Toronto on Friday.
And Brett Lauther?
Yeah, well, that's a great point, Greg. There's a lot of us going,
I love him.
Well, maybe we should bring him back.
I love Brett Lauther. He's going to be just fine.
Nothing to see here.
All right, well, we'll check with Belton Johnson on that in a few minutes to get his take. He was using social media.
I saw some of his messages.
All right, so what's coming up in the Roundtable of Justice today?
So today we're going to talk impaired driving. I mean, impaired driving is obviously something that, since we were young and young drivers, it's something that you talk about, you hear about. Sadly, we continue to have problems with it in our communities. Of course, we know it causes death, serious injuries, property destruction, and it wrecks lives. But the numbers aren't great. They're continuing to be a bit of a challenge in the province. So we've got a couple of police officers on the show today for the Roundtable of Justice. We're actually going to open up phone lines to take questions, and we'll talk about the impact of the legalization of cannabis. We'll talk about what an impaired driving investigation looks like. Lots of different questions.
All right.
Even dispel some myths. What if you pop a breath mint in your mouth?
Yeah.
Does that fool the police
officers? Oh, yeah. Two or three.
Well, we're gonna find out today on the Roundtable.
Well, you got to tell me now.
No, you got to listen to the Roundtable.
I don't want to listen to the Roundtable. No, I'll listen. It's 8:30. Evan Bray is back. It's 7:28.